Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, this is the Marriage Playbook, Season 8, Game 12, Love and Submission. Listen, we'd like to thank everyone who's on the line tonight. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for calling in. Don't forget, go to 646-668-8485. 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the show. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Marriage Playbook. This is another Monday evening here from the city of brotherly love. It is beautiful outside. I think we've been looking for this weather for a really long time. So we are so excited tonight. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. You can tune in and log on to any mobile device or computer. Also, go like us on Facebook. Go look at Instagram. Plug it in, share, share, share. Again, we thank you all for your prayers and your love and your support. Again, this is the Marriage Playbook, and you know I got my partner over here, Coach Eric. How you doing today, sir?
Doing just capital today. All right, man, this is Season 8, Game 12, Love and Submission. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of valuable information tonight, so I hope you tune in because this is something you're really going to need. Let me just set the introduction up like this. Love and submission is the basis of marriage. At its core, the very rudiments of successful marital relationship. However, this subject is often omitted when addressing marriage. We don't talk about this kind of stuff. It's swept under by whimsical romance and ceremonial protocols of the wedding day,
that's
you
right.
know, the plans and all that. Then when real life kicks in, we fail to learn how to conduct ourselves as husband and wife. But this is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about love and submission. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, Marriage Playbook, Season 8, Game 12, Love and Submission. This is Blog Talk Radio, PJC Media, the real Christian radio, and we're going to give it to you biblical on this evening. Now, love and submission. Our first segment deals with understanding love. You'd be surprised, Coach, how many people don't understand love. They think they know what love is because they watched a couple of movies or they've been in a few relationships. So they think they know what love is because they had a feeling. Okay, but let me explain something to you. Love has never been a feeling. Now, feelings might come as a byproduct of love, but love on its own has never been a feeling.
That's right. And I think what happens is because we have been taught that, and a lot of times when we're looking for feelings, we're looking for love, what we do is we're always looking for the emotional part of it. We're always looking for someone's hand to hold. We're looking for somebody we can cuddle with. We're looking for someone who will talk to us and tell us we're beautiful. All those different things that give you that ooey gooey feeling. And so we have searched for that, and then we miss when someone say that they love us, but then they're physically abusing us or they're mentally abusing us. Because as long as we get that part of them, nothing else matters. We'll endure and we'll go through all the other stuff, you know, which is not love. And so, again, Coach Eric, we talk about this all the time. You know, you cannot have love without God, not proper love.
Yeah.
You cannot have this thing, nor can you do it or love yourself without God. God is the one who will begin to show us, listen, all those things we have done wrong and what we consider love to be. So I can raise both hands, 10 fingers, 10 toes, apron, hat, you name it, I got it, because I've made some of the same mistakes. But because once I have received Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he began to minister to me about what love really is. And I'm telling you, I would encourage anyone that is listening right now, is you want the love of God first.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will begin to show you not only to have the love for him, but he'll begin to show you how to love yourself. And so anything less than that, you will not accept it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, you know, if we had a better understanding of what love is, or rather, who love is, this is the point I'm getting to, we would have a lower divorce rate. We really would.
Yes, we would.
Okay, so let's simplify and define love the way it really is and stop philosophizing about it. Okay, God is love. Okay, now if you look in the Webster Dictionary or the Webster Merriam, whatever they call it today, and you look up love, God is nowhere in the equation, but the real definition of love is that God is love. And where will you find love? You find love in God. God is the ordinance of love. And if love is not governed by God's holy ordinance, it cannot be considered love. Any inordinate version of love will, by default, involve sin in your life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to talk about that because we don't want to address that. Let me give you an example. Premarital sex. Now, I know a lot of folks are, oh, here we go again. Okay, look, songs are written about it. You know, movies are made about it. Even call it making love when you do it. Okay? But it's actually fornication, which is a sin with the body. Now, after this act is performed, you may feel like you're in love because of what you are feeling. I talked about that before. It's a scientific fact that your hormones make you feel a particular way when you make love or when you have feelings for an individual. That is a real feeling. All right, when you are in what they refer to as the throes of pleasure, really it's sin, it feels good, but it's so wrong. Just because something feels right does not make it right, and we can't designate it as love. Now, I know everybody's saying, man, this is not what we expected to hear. Now, listen to this, okay, and this is going to be good. Marriage, according to the Bible, is honorable. Marriage is honorable. No other kind of intimate relationship other than marriage is honorable. Now, if you love someone, now, if you really love somebody, would you dishonor them? Would you disrespect someone that you say that you love? Okay, so when you got this so-called wife or your girlfriend thing going, you've been together, even moving and living in together, and you're shacking up and you're doing all that kind of stuff like that, and you haven't married this woman still belongs to her father, and you are violating, physically violating this man's daughter because you're not married to her, and then you say, I love her. You don't even respect her.
Right.
Let's start with that. You haven't gotten to the respect part yet.
Right.
And it's not all the man's fault because a lot of women don't respect themselves.
Right. Now,
a lot of it, the Bible said, man is destroyed by the lack of knowledge. You don't know that you're disrespecting and dishonoring yourself when you give your body to a man who is not your husband.
And let me tell you, Coach, I just want to piggyback on something you said earlier and what we're talking about, the love of God. We have to understand that when you don't have the love of God, what happens is we never stop thirsting after wanting more from an individual. Because that space in that area of your life that we're looking for love, we're looking for love, you cannot expect that from man. You know, I remember the Lord ministering to this to me one time, and this really helped me in my marriage. You know, it is unfair to make your spouse want to do something or make your spouse be accountable for something that only God can do. So that love you want your spouse to have, I hear people say it all the time, well, I need him to love me like this. What are you talking about? You know? Because sometimes that love that we're looking for or that fulfillment or even that joy that we do not have in our own lives, we hold our spouses accountable to give us when only God can give us that. So what we begin to do is we start thirsting and wanting more from the spouse than they're able to give. Now, listen, that's probably because they're not able to. You know, we hang on to what was and what was in a last relationship and what someone did. And so we bring those issues into this relationship and we expect that person to be this way or to do this thing. And we're going to hit this because we're going to talk about submission. And then we start demanding and commanding, you know, different things from the individual. Now, it wasn't like that before we got married. Everything was wonderful. Everything was beautiful. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't identify and you're not totally submitted unto God, yourself, you know, there's no way in the world that you're going to be ready to submit and love someone else.
I'm going to tell you, man, it's getting kind of deep, okay, because, first of all, it's not a person's responsibility to make another person happy.
It is not.
All right, now they say this, I'm going to make you happy. It's not my job to make you happy.
That's right.
If you're not happy when I met you, it's not my job. I can't do that. I can't fulfill your joy. I'm not God.
And we got to stop marrying people and linking up with people that we know got self-esteem issues, folks that have been through things. I'm not saying that they're not your husband, they're not your wife, they're not your spouse, they're not who God would have you to be with. But what I'm saying is when you begin to see those issues, you need to face it and address it, and y'all need to start dealing with some of those challenges together. I don't care if it's with counseling, sit down with your pastor, sit down with a spiritual leader, someone in the gospel that's going to give you biblical sound information so you can be delivered and made free in those areas before you connect to an individual. You cannot want that person so bad that you're going to take them like they are. Well, I accept you the way you are. Really? Okay, because when you get into marriage, you're going to see some areas of them because the stuff you didn't see is going to come out and reveal itself. And what the person is going to say is, I thought you accepted me for who I was. Well, I didn't know you came with all this, because we let love take over the whole thing of really dealing with the serious part of what marriage is holding us accountable for, the covenant between man, women, and God. You know, it's more than just a feeling, because when you don't feel like it that day, you're telling me you ain't going to get up and cook for your spouse, you're not going to clean the house, you're not going to wash his clothes, you're not going to take it because you feel like that today. It doesn't work like that.
I'm going to explain some less, like, less on the domestic part of it. One thing about beginning a new marriage, and we met a couple of people that are getting married, and I hope they're listening tonight. All right, when you enter into a new marriage, what you need to do is wipe your slate clean before you go into a new marriage. You got to wipe your slate clean of your – the enemy to a new relationship is experience. Now, I see people who say it backwards. Oh, you need to have some experience. You need to sow your wild oats. You need to learn a little bit. No. That was wrong. The enemy to a successful relationship is experience. I'm going to tell you why. That man you got now, the one you're marrying, he's not going to be able to please you the way that last dude did, because he is not him. See, first of all, the nasty butt should not have been messing around. Okay? You're supposed to be saving yourself for your husband. So now you're coming with all this baggage and all these sexual appetites into your new marriage, and you're supposed to come in as a virgin. Same thing for the man. You waiting for this woman to do all the freaky deaky stuff, your new wife, to do all the freaky deaky stuff that this other woman that you was messing with did. You wasn't supposed to be messing around with her. You're supposed to be saving yourself for your wife. So now you're expecting her to fulfill all these crazy appetites you got because that's your experience that you had because you need God to wipe your slate clean.
And I love what you said, Coach Eric, about wiping the slate clean because only God can do that. And that's a mind that is a spiritual thing, is natural and spiritual. And the thing about wiping the slate clean, that means you getting alone by yourself with God so God can deal with you. Because you can't be dating and trying to get healed from situations. You can't be dating and trying to get over situations. You can't be, you know, I've seen in my lifetime as being a Christian, no one wants to be alone. No one wants to be, and I'm not talking alone, lonely, oh, nobody loves you, nobody comes around, you don't hang out. That's not what I'm saying. But that process of being with God by yourself means so much. You know, being able to let God minister to your body and to your spirit and deal with those deepest issues. Now, am I saying everything is going to be taken care of or handled or full total deliverance by the time you get married? No, because even in your marriage will challenge you and show you some areas that you're still going to have to deal with. It's just like salvation. When you give your life over to God, guess what? It is a process. But again, we should be processing out our salvation just like we should be processing through our marriage and growing and developing with one another. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't still be at stage one 10 years later and you're still pointing a finger at each other, what woulda, coulda, shoulda, or having all these regrets, you know, because marriage not only is honorable, God has done it so we can enjoy one another. You know, so you can enjoy what God has done. But if we do not seek God, I say it every time, if we don't begin to seek God in those areas and those things and we don't be honest and say, you know what, I really have a problem with this. You know, I'm struggling in my flesh with this. I have a problem with submission because of the last relationship was abusive. You know, whatever it is, I can't love like this because of this. Be honest. You know, and then spouses don't use that person opening up, being honest to you against them when you want to have your way. You know, that's not love either. You know, so to me, I just find that we don't have patience with one another. You know, the things that God commands us to do with one another to display his love, the patience he had with us. When we didn't want to submit and surrender and do his will, when we weren't in the places where we should have been in and where we're not probably where we should be and all of that, we got to look at our spouses the same way and have that same compassion and love that God displayed. But again, you got to have that kind of love that God has for us, for one another, because your husband, your wife, they're still a soul. We forget that.
Now, let's get kind of back on format just a little bit, okay? Now, I said marriage is honorable. That's what the Bible said, not me. Marriage is honorable, okay? So then what comes with that is respect. What comes with that is ordinance. And I talked about some things that was inordinate. It's inordinate for you to be in an intimate relationship with someone who you're not married to. That's inordinate. Okay, now, another example, because we in this age where we see this more blatant now, these same-sex relationships, to be male or female, okay? This same-sex relationship that the world has accepted, the world has accepted, I want you to get this, the world has accepted this, but God never will. God never will because it is inordinate affection, inordinate. All right, let's go to the marriage playbook, Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2.
That's right.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. I'm going to repeat this, and be not conformed to this world. I'm going to say it one more time, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind got to change that you may prove what is that good, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Homosexual man, I love you, but what you're doing is not good. Lesbian woman, I love you, but what you're doing is not good, and it's not the acceptable or perfect will of God. Now, what's clear here, and I'm going to say this so that you know who you are. The word of God is for the people of God and not for the heathen. So we got to know, let's draw the line where we are now. Okay, if you're a heathen, you know, if you're going to go to church, you got to change. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you not to change. You got to change. They got churches now that allow all this behavior. They accept everything. They accept the things that God rejects in a so-called church. Okay, so let's draw a line where we are. Are you the elect of God? Are you a heathen? Because when Paul is talking here in this book, he is stating, he is saying, I beg you, brethren. He's talking to the brethren. Let's draw a line where you are. If you're a heathen and that's what you decide to do, God has blessed you with that free will to do that or be that. God will allow you to go to hell if that's what you want to do. Okay? I'm not going to judge you only by the word of God.
And he passes the mic. So, look, I want to read this because I told Coach Eric tonight I'm going to kind of be an advocate. So I'm going to be on the other side of this thing. Yes. I'm in total agreement with Coach Eric is saying. But what I think a lot of times is the same love that we tell people to have, we definitely got to have that same love also. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read the scripture to back up what he said, because a lot of times we even skip through this. He was in Romans, so I'm in Romans, the first chapter. And I'm going to read this because, again, this is Real Christian Radio. And, again, we love you. We truly do. We love all walks of life. But we have to begin to start teaching this thing, man, and love so folks can get delivered and folks can be made free. And I don't know how everybody always missed this here, but I'm going to read it really, really quick. And this is Romans, the first chapter. I'm going to start from the 20th verse, okay? It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Amen. We as people of God, we're going to stand before a holy God without excuse, because he's left the written word for us to obey. Now, 21st verse, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Let me read this. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Let me keep reading. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate." We ain't supposed to be debating each other. Saints of God debating each other over the word of God or who's right, you know, And our bishops say it all the time. You would want to rather be in right standing with God than try to be right over every situation, because that's not good. Defeat. MALIGNITY. Say the word. MALIGNITY. Thank you, Coach Eric. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I said all that to say, you know, it's not just homosexuality. It's all those things that I read that God is displeased with. So we want to make sure that people have an understanding. We are talking about marriage, and this is a marriage playbook, but anytime we begin to talk about homosexuality, we want people to know that it's not the people or the person that we're coming up against. We just want to use God's word so we can see what God is saying, you know, and that we won't be in error to the things that's going on that will keep us away from God, the things that will keep us from receiving our deliverance and our healing from the one that can give it to us. So I wanted to make sure I read that fully. Because it's not just that, because you can be a married couple and have all these other things going on, and God will not be pleased with that also.
You never want to, like they always say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay? What we're dealing with, I might meet a man, he might be homosexual, he might be a nice guy. We might have a whole lot in common, watch the game together, talk together, nice dude. Okay? What he's doing with his body is going to cause his soul to go to hell. So it's my job to explain to him out of love, you know, that, listen, what you're doing is hurting you, okay? It's not pleasing God, and it's hurting you. I go back to what Paul said. He said, present your body, a living sacrifice, your body. Now I'm speaking to the church.
That's right.
Because the church has this problem.
That's
we right. Present and sacrifice everything but our body,
right.
Okay? We present our money to the church, and we think we're good. We present our talent to the church, and we think we present our gift to the church, and then we do whatever we want to do with our bodies, and then God is going to accept that. Let me tell you something. You can go to hell from church.
That's right.
Okay, so you got to be careful, because Paul says here, present your bodies as a sacrifice. This is the sacrifice that God is expecting from us. Why? Everything else that you're trying to give God, he already owns. He owns your money. He owns your gift. He gave you your gift. He owns your talent, so you can't give him that. Even the free will that he gave you as a gift, he even owns that. But he gave that to you for you to make a choice. So that you would love him freely. That's what free will is about. It's not about I can do what I want. It's giving me the opportunity to please God, to choose God and not the enemy. Man, I hate to break this thing up and go to a commercial. I really hate to do this, but I will say this last thing. I got to pass the mic. We are warned, like you said earlier, not to be like the world. So if anyone, going back to love again, desires real true love, you're going to have to get that from Jesus to find it.
Listen, you guys, tune in, call in, press 1-646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. We see you on the line. We thank you. We appreciate you. But look, we'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The
Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
This is really, really good. And you better know that even when we're talking, when we're on the air, we're ministering, man. Listen, this thing ministers to us. I'm telling you, we always want to align ourselves and be in a position that not only God can use you as an individual, but you don't take the things that God allowed you to learn, to go through, you know, to don't take it for granted because they're for a reason. So we're praying that this information will bless you tonight. I'm praying that not only is just information, because we always get information. We listen to a lot of stuff. We read a lot of books. But then there's no transformation in our lives. We have to get to a place where we begin to receive the word of God, whatever information, whatever avenue that the Lord brings it, so we can be in the place and be all that God wants us to be, especially in our marriages. Marriage is the snapshot of the church. You know, in order to have the young people to want to be married and not in fornication, in order for them to see that a marriage will truly work, those marriages that are godly marriages, even if you're going through and you know people are watching you. Oh, well, let me say this. You know people are watching you.
Right.
Folks are watching your marriage like a hawk. So even if stuff ain't right, nobody should know that but you, God, and the individual. Amen. Because we have made marriages look so bad because we have not gotten to the place where we have submitted our will to God and let God's love overshadow our marriage so we can be all that we need to be, and it's for the kingdom.
Amen. Now, our next segment, I'm really excited about getting into this segment because this is the meat of it, but I will say this. In the beginning, when we start talking about love, have you noticed we talked about God a lot?
Because God is love.
You can't talk about love without dealing with God.
Right.
Okay, because God is love. See, you thought we were going to go off in one direction about love, but guess what? When you bring God into the equation, then you're dealing with real love. Okay, now, our next segment, obedience and submission. Obedience and submission. I want to discuss these two words because although quite similar in definition, there is an important difference here, okay? When you submit, it means to give over or yield to the power or authority of another or others, to present for the approval, consideration, or decision of another or others. Now, obey, to comply with or follow the command, restrictions, wishes, or instructions of someone in command. You see here that submission is a far greater thing than obedience. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is because we get this mixed up when we start talking about marriage, particularly in the church. Submission requires love, respect, and a willingness to yield to another. I'm going to say that one more time. Submission requires love, respect, and a willingness to yield to another. Now, on the other hand, obedience doesn't require any personal relationship between the one giving the command and the one obeying the command that was given. Obedience usually deals with the rank or authority. We obey God because he is God, omnipotent, sovereign, ruler. He is God, creator. We obey him. Now, let me point this question right to the husbands now, and I'm going to point you in the position of the question. Now, husbands, I want you to pay attention. Do you believe in your mind that you outrank your wife? I'm listening. I want to hear replies. I want y'all to call in because I want to know, do you believe that you outrank your wife? That she should obey whatever you say just because you're the husband. Do you believe that? This is where the error goes wrong, particularly in some of the teachings in the house of God. Now, God made the man the head, but for his purpose, not for yours. You don't boss your wife around. Now, I'm not telling you not to lead your family. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be a man, lead. It's a big difference. But you don't boss your wife around. I'm talking about you obey me. You should obey me. Now, you check the Bible for yourself. I want you to try to find where it tells a wife to obey her husband. Now, I know everybody's going crazy in Christendom because they swear that it's in the Bible. You find it where it tells a woman to obey her husband. That's not the word that is used here. The word that is used here, let's go to the original King James Version now, the one that they translated from Hebrew into Greek. Okay? The word here is submission. Submission. For a wife not to submit to her own husband is to disobey God. So we get it twisted. We think that the wife answers to us and we got some kind of obedience or some kind of power over them. We have authority that was given by God. Now for a husband not to love his wife is to disobey God. So here's the part that I get upset with in churches. Okay? They stick with this woman, y'all need to obey your husband. You need to obey your husband, but how many husbands are actually loving their wives?
Or obeying Christ.
Or obeying God themselves.
The order.
Okay? There's an order to that thing. Okay? It's not set up for you to be the ruler in your house, for you to be boss and walk around with the big pants on. That's not why God set the thing up. So the key to success in marriage is for the husband and the wife to be obedient to God.
Right. So he can lead you both.
Now, the Bible says this, to submit one to another. So she's submitting, you submitting as well. So where did it come up with you the boss? Were you supposed to boss her around, or she got to be obedient to you no matter what you do? Okay, submission, willing submission of the wife should come from a position of a husband loving his wife. That's where it should come from. You love your wife, she's going to willingly submit to you. It's the order that God has set up. It's how the marriage is supposed to work. Now, we're going to get into that, how the marriage works.
And I just want to talk about this because I told Coach Eric, even today when I got up, and sometimes we already know what this show is going to be about, we talk throughout the week before we come up to this point. And sometimes the Lord will begin to minister. And one of the things that I picked up in the natural was this, a natural thing was I know throughout history, men and women, we both suffered in this word called submission. This word submission had been misused by many when it came to a male or a female, you know? And what happened is I see the effect of what happened throughout the time of history is still affecting us even now. So as women at that time, you know, we weren't allowed to vote. We weren't allowed to do this. We were only allowed to be in the kitchen and cooking and being pregnant. I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're right, Coach Eric. But that's what I'm talking about. We have turned that around, and we made it such a bad thing where we only look down on that, and we don't see the fruit of a mother or a wife being a home caregiver or taking care of the children while the husband is at work. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that at all, because let me tell you something. Households are so upside down because, yes, single mothers and women, you have to work. But who's watching the children now? Who's monitoring what they're watching and what they're doing? They're not being watched by anybody. No one is giving them no type of instructions. They're coming and going whenever they want. And then we want to know what's wrong with the young people. So to me,
There's nothing wrong with that. If you choose that place, I think it's remarkable. I've seen women with successful careers, ministries, all kinds of stuff, change their schedule, change everything around because their family was really important. So they set things aside and begin to start prioritizing and dealing with their children. So I think for a long time we set it up and, oh, it's an evil thing. It is not always evil. It's the way things have been passed down through the generations. And we take that word submission, and because some been beat over the head with it, in church, out of church, in marriages, like Coach Eric said, we never surrender to the will of God and what God says submission is, and then we don't want to do it. Now watch this. I even know and seen people teach about submission. Wonderful teaching, wonderful illustration. But when you start talking to them about submitting to a man, you should see their response. So which one is it? Do you fully receive the submission and the will of God when it comes to you submitting to your own husband? Because I've seen women submit to their pastor. I mean their bosses. They submit to everybody except for their own husband. And we as women, God has put us in a wonderful, spectacular place when it comes to that. You know, that God has given us so much power that we can speak life even to our husbands. We can speak life in our households and things will change. But again, going back to the hurt, going back to the pain, going back to if you were molested, if someone beat on you, if you were physically, mentally abused, what happens is we hold on to that and we say, oh, I'm never submitting to another man.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you something. If you are not married and things are not working out right, then you might want to look at that.
At yourself.
Because that's what I was going to say, Coach. A lot of times we're blaming it on the individual when we aren't the ones that submitted ourselves. Because most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it's actually something that's going on inside of us and not our spouses. Come on, if we just be honest. It's some things throughout the year. I think God will be celebrating 10 years in June, Coach Eric and I. And again, like we said, we don't have all the answers, but in the 15, 16 years we've known each other, I realized even after marriage, there were some areas in my life that God still had to deliver me even after being married. But I had to receive what my spouse was saying about me that would be detrimental to the marriage. Again, it goes back to the respect. You're not coming in, calling me all kinds of names and downing me and belittling me, you know, and making me feel bad. Because who want to change if you coming in and you are assassinating their character and bringing up old issues all the time? You ain't going to get no results out of that. But I love the way Coach Eric would always go seek God before he come talk to me. And maybe some heavy stuff. And guess what I got to do? I got to seek God and ask God, what is that area? What is he talking about? You know? Now, the thing that always, and I'm going to say this because I wrote this down, the thing we got to be careful, because I said this even with my children, unsaved loved ones and everything, we got to get out of, I didn't receive it from you, but I received it from someone else. Regardless of who you received it from and who gave the information, you want that individual to be delivered. We got to get out of it. Something's wrong with that mindset, you know, because you're not the deliverer, you know. So, again, with mankind, we got to be so careful about how we handle one another, you know, because sometimes what you're trying to do, especially even changing someone, can become manipulation.
Right.
Because now you're trying to make them be what you want them to be.
Right.
You're trying to make them do what you want them to do. And now, not only that they're fighting you and resisting you because they see it's you, we got to continue to show our spouses one another the love of God in each other. Again, be patient with one another. You know, begin to be kind. You know, be affectionate to one another. Even when you're trying to tell somebody about themselves. Exactly. And you can't have the fruits of the Spirit without God.
Without the Spirit.
Without the Spirit of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Coach Eric. That's it. Without the Spirit of God. So thank you for that correction, Coach Eric. You see what I'm saying? And even in marriages, you've got to be willing to take correction from one another. and you got to learn how to give it. Because sometimes we think we're giving corrective criticism and you're dogging a person out. Because it's something that you need to know about that individual, even how to give information. You know? So all these things are very vital, and this is why the marriages are not working.
Struggling. Yeah, struggling.
You know? Because you got to think about, were you submissive in the marriage that you was in before you, and were you submissive to God? Because did God tell you to marry that person? We blame it on the other person. We jumped into that head first. We dived up into that thing. Listen, we ain't stopping from taking his pants off and taking his pants off. You saw the one leg coming off. Listen, I'm saving myself for God. Oh, no, let's get to the altar. Let's get married since we haven't sex. Now, I know what the Bible talks about, you know, that it's better to marry than to burn.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something that, you know, no one picked it up in the spirit realm. You're going to burn either way. You're going to either burn in that marriage and go through hell in that marriage, or if you don't, you see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And we don't look at that. You're still going to suffer.
You're going to suffer one way or the
other. You're going to suffer still. And this is what we don't talk about. So we marry people and we just hope it's going to work out. No.
Obedience is something that we should learn even when we were single.
Exactly.
If you be obedient to God or obedient to God's word, it's going to protect you in the long run. It's going to protect your life, particularly in your decision making.
Yeah. Oh.
It's going to help you when you're making that decision. Okay, because then you be in a marriage and you be in counsel, my wife is not obedient. Like, wait a minute, is your wife your dog or is that your wife?
Right.
You mean your wife is not submissive? Okay, well then, have you gone to God and talked to God about why your wife is not submissive? Because people don't want to go to God because God might say, well, why don't you love her more? Why don't you be more patient with her? Why don't you show more compassion, be more kind with her? You know, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know too many women, if you don't show compassion and kindness and be sweet to them, that they're not going to be submissive to you.
Yeah.
By default, you treat a woman nice, and I mean in the world and out in the church and in the world, you treat a woman nice, you're not gonna have too many problems with her. When a woman finds a good man that's gonna treat her right, you're not gonna have a whole lot of problems with your wife. I'm telling you now. You know, you treat that woman like she is your own body, and I'm gonna take the time and I'm gonna read pretty much all of Ephesians the 5th chapter because I'm gonna let Paul, who was inspired by God to write this thing. I'm not going to use my own content. I'm going to use the word of God because it's right there. And preachers and pastors teach that stuff like it wasn't taught by God. It's in the scriptures. And we sitting there telling men to be tough on their wives and that they should obey their husbands and not teaching them how to be kind and be kind and compassionate towards your wife and love them like Christ, be sacrificial like Christ died for the church. Okay, but we teach the other side of it. And have all the women wearing stuff on their head and walking behind the men acting like nuts. And God didn't make a woman like that.
I'm in a total agreement, Coach Eric, and I know since the time I've met Coach Eric, he's never done that to me. And I believe and give God glory for that. Amen. But again, it took the relationship and the love of God in Coach Eric to be able to know, okay, God, this is what you're calling me to talk, how you're calling me to be not only a man over my household, but even to the wife that you're giving me. And it goes back to what I was saying about how, all right, let me read Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 5:21. Coach Eric going to read the whole thing, but I want to read this to kind of back up what I'm saying. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What? In the respect and the reverence of God. Not, ooh, I'm scared of God. But guess what? When you know that your spouse is a soul and that he or she is a son or a daughter of the king, you ain't going to treat them any old kind of way. You want to watch what you say before you say it because God is still holding you accountable because that's still a soul that you're married to. And so if you damage that person, 9 times out of 10, I've seen the spouses damage each other, and then they leave God. They don't want to be in church no more. You know, your marriage business is all through the church. You done shared personal information that you shouldn't have shared with people. You know, the other thing that's really big, we share intimacy with other people when that's not what you're supposed to do. So now when someone else is in the marriage, because we don't share intimacy, we don't open that door, we're trying to figure out what's going on and what's wrong, you know? So, again, we got to remember that our spouses belong to God, too. And if you want change, guess who you need to go to? You need to go to God. Get in that prayer closet. Start fasting and praying and turning your plate down. Start seeking God. I know every time I've done it and I felt like Coach Eric said something to me or hurt me, he's always come back and said, babe, you know what? I apologize for that statement. Why? I didn't go in there and start hooping and hollering, you said this to me. And then it's, nope, okay, God, that's your son, you know? And you know what was just said hurt me. And I know he may not have meant it, but even now, God, I need you to deal with this situation. First of all, I need you to deal with me. You know, because what happens is we think offenses is only going to come from those outside. Your spouse may offend you. You know, if you have offense from your spouse, you got to go to God with that too. And then you got to forgive immediately. But look, I'm giving this thing back to Coach Eric because he's going to read through Ephesians for us.
All right, it's here in black and white for us now, all right? Here we go. All right, now, I got to be obedient because I got to start the 14th verse, okay? It starts off by saying, we have said, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, you got to come out of your sins. Here's one of the biggest problems that man has in marriage and in life. You got to come out of your sins. That's men and women, you got to come out of your sins, and you got to come out from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspect. That means carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. So don't be doing foolish stuff. Mm-hmm. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding the will, what the will of the Lord is. Understand, you got to know what the will of God is. Before you make decisions, you got to know what God's will is. 18 verses. Be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine or beer or alcohol or malt liquor. None of that stuff. You know, you come home all drunk, you know, and then acting all crazy in the house, and then you want your wife to come and bring you dinner, act right, but you're coming in all drunk and stuff, spending all the money, okay? Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melodies in your heart to the Lord, okay? Watch what the kind of stuff that you're listening to, okay? Surrender your heart to God and stop filling your mind with a bunch of foolishness. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. 21st verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now we'll start talking about marriage. All that stuff we're talking about was before marriage. Now we're talking about marriage. Okay? Deal with your individual self first. Now when it comes to marriage, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. All right? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. It's for God's purpose. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Be subject, just like Christ is, to God, and like we are, like the church is to Christ. All right? 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, you know, died for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word of God should be in your household and in your children's mind. When they wake up, when they sit down, when you sit down to dinner, y'all should be talking about God. 27th verse, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. This is the man presenting his family to God, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. They don't talk about that much. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Marriage is not for selfish people. 30th verse. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 31st verse. This is important. And they always recite this in a marriage ceremony. For this cause should a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is what the Bible is talking about in marriage. Two people becoming one flesh. That's why your mother and your father and your family should not be in your personal business. Right. Now the Bible says in the 32nd verse, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Remember I said the word of God is for the people of God and not for the heathen. All right? The heathen, the word of God is for you, that you be saved and that you surrender your life to Christ. 33rd verse, and I'm finished. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect and honor her husband.
Man, I am telling you, this is some good stuff here tonight. I'm telling you, this is the Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 12, Love and Submission. Listen, we're going to take a commercial timeout, and we'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Listen, you guys, we thank you. We thank you. Look, our time is running out. We wish we had more time to talk about this. But most of all, we pray that something that was said on tonight will bless you, will change your mindset or your perspective on how you saw things. We speak deliverance and healing in the marriages all over the world. Again, Coach Eric and Coach Fran, thank you for your love and your support. Don't forget, we're here every Monday at 7 p.m. But look, I want to tell you, the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church Incorporated at 2234 North Front Street, Philadelphia, PA 19133. You need to write these dates down. Through our bishop, Dr. Joanne Dixon, she has hosted a huge community screening, clothes, and food giveaway on June the 8th at 10 a.m. That's June the 8th at 10 a.m. And then we have July the 20th at 10 a.m. Bishop Dr. Joanne Dixon is very concerned about our men and women. You are going to get your health screening. Not only will you get your health screening, you will get information that's going to take you to a place to get your issues and situations taken care of. Again, this is through Bishop Dr. Joanne Dixon. She's hosting a huge community screening, clothes, and food giveaway. That is on June the 8th at 10 a.m., July the 20th at 10 a.m. You want to send everyone you know. We're going to be canvassing the entire city of Philadelphia, and we're going to be putting the information out. It is time for us to get our people some good coverage and some checkups. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. But look, again, don't forget, write those dates down, June the 8th and July the 20th. That's at 2234 North Front Street, Philadelphia, PA 19133. That is the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church. Listen, you know we're a part of a phenomenal, phenomenal production company, PJC Media. Listen, on Tuesdays you need to turn in at 7 o'clock with Right Stuff with Parker J. Cole. You need to tune in and listen to that phenomenal show. On Fridays, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. That's at 8 p.m. On Saturday morning, you have the Parker J. Cole show at 2 o'clock p.m. And then at 3:30, you got our main man, Craig Carlisle, show. Again, don't forget, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Meet us here every Monday at 7 p.m. Listen, that's it, you guys. We love you. We're praying for you, and we love you with the love of God. Look, we out of here. We talk to you later.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.